Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players podcast. This is a special edition, a show I wasn't sure we were going to have for various reasons, but it looks like racing is going to go ahead at the fairgrounds today, which is Saturday, March 21st, my brother Steven's birthday. Happy birthday, Steven. But Steven will not be joining us today. JK will not be joining us today. He's in the midst of a little run on TV and doing 7 hours a day there. I figured he was working hard enough. Do make sure to catch him on Fox Sports 1 later today. And then I believe again tomorrow, coming to you from the bunker in the planet Texas, it looked like, in what little I saw of it yesterday. But in his stead, we bring in one of the most popular guests in the history of this show, in this incarnation, in the previous incarnation, and we bring him in at various times, but typically when there's big stuff going on at the fairgrounds, that's one of the reasons we reach out to our old buddy Frank McGowey. Frank, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Pete. I got fingers crossed. I'm holding my breath till I see him in the gate.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. For
folks who haven't been following the story, we'll start there. What have you heard in terms of the back and forth about whether or not this day of racing was going to take place at fairgrounds, and then is this it for the meet? Start with what you've heard so far about today.
So the whole fairground story started last Friday when they had a twilight racing scheduled, and you started seeing cancellations of different events around the country, and up to like 3 o'clock that afternoon, the word was everything was still on and they were going to let, you know, people in to enjoy the night and have fun at the fairgrounds. And then about 4 o'clock, they announced that it was just going to be, they were just racing, no fans on track. And we've been that way through yesterday afternoon when the mayor of New Orleans declared a stay at home order.
Okay.
And one of the places that was specifically listed in the literature that she put out was that the fairgrounds could not run. But I'm hearing that they asked for an extension, and the word from the back stretch this morning is that they were granted it and they are going to at least be able to run today. I don't know about tomorrow, but they're definitely going to be able to run today.
You're tied in to what goes on in the back stretch. I just want to ask an opinion. I mean, I get it with what's happening in New York with supposedly multiple positives on the backstretch. I mean, I can see why the decisions are being made across the country at some of these places. But to me, the reason why I remained foolishly optimistic that maybe racing could continue unabated during this period is the fact that for these horses to be taken care of, 90% right. of the people are the same. So if you Correct. Can then come up with a protocol to just get, I mean, who do you need beyond who has to be there to be there to race? I guess you need a couple of racing officials and the jockeys.
Yep. And the public needs a relief. I mean, you know, we're going to get through this. I mean, this is not going to end us what we're going through now. So the public needs some relief, and stop watching the news. Start watching horse racing. It'll be a way better mindset. I'm serious.
I'm laughing not because it's funny, because it's not true. I'm laughing because it's funny, because it is true. You're absolutely right.
We all know what we need and are supposed to do now to stop this thing.
Yeah.
So just do it. Yeah. It's not going to end us. Stop watching the news. They can't tell you anything you don't know.
Oh, I love it, Frank. This is a message that I knew that you were right in my heart, but it's buoying my spirit to hear it. And I just hope that's right, that people don't, I just worry that people aren't thinking, you know, politicians making these decisions aren't thinking about, well, we're not just going to leave these horses there. They've got to be taken care of anyway. And at that point, if you're importing 12 extra individuals, as long as they're taking extreme safety precautions, I don't feel like it's irresponsible to run.
No, I don't either. And I would say that the situation with horse racing in California, the fact that they ordered a lockdown there and they let them run yesterday is a good sign.
Yes, that's a great point. It would be nice to have California through this. It sounds like this might be it for the fairgrounds. It seems like they've come to some sort of understanding at Gulfstream. I apologize. I haven't been. You probably know more than I do about that. I know they didn't run yesterday. It sounded, though, like some protocols have been changed and now they're back in action.
I hope so. And I would love it if that was what, you know, every other track took that lead and went to whoever their jurisdictions are and said, hey, look, we're going to take these protocols. Let's keep going.
What are the vibes like in New Orleans in general right now? Describe the mood for me.
For the most part, you know, there was a little bit of an initial worry, but I'm thinking most people are kind of feeling the way that I am, that we're going to get through this. I mean, I don't want to sound gloomy, but the death rate seems like it's relatively low compared to the number of cases. And I think, I mean, especially in this city, a lot of people had to be exposed to it. I'm sure I was exposed to it during Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras was like a petri dish for this thing, I can imagine. I'm serious. And I don't personally know anybody that has it or has been affected. Not that maybe I won't when it's all over with, but I think there's a lot of optimism. Good. And I think as each day goes by, I know it's got to be a scary time for you where you are right now, but it's a phase that people are going to go through. We're going to get through this thing. It's not going to end us.
I love that attitude. And it's certainly correct. It is funny being in New York right now. I've heard a few media and social media things about, New York is the new epicenter. New York is the new epicenter. And I feel like it's kind of fake reporting in that, you know, the number of cases, we're so populated and we're a place that's had more testing than other places. So,
correct. And the vast majority of people that test positive, it's not going to be an issue for them.
That's right. That's right.
And they're going to get through it.
Yeah. And so, I feel, you know, having been in. You go ahead, Frank.
We'll try to take some people's minds off of it with some winners.
Let's do it. I love it. I love your attitude. Let's dive into this Fairgrounds Saturday card that looks like it's going to happen. We didn't prep for this at all. So why don't we just, how have you done everything? Do you want to just walk us through some of your strongest opinions and then pause on the stakes? Do you want to just do the stakes? You tell me.
I'll walk you through everything. Why not?
You're the best.
I finished handicapping this thing on Thursday, I think.
Okay, great. Well, let's. I'll let you. Do you want to talk about every race? I mean, and it's fine to say pass if you don't have anything strong.
I'll give you a quick overview of each of them. It's not a big deal.
All right. Well, we start off with the Crescent City Derby. We've got Louisiana bred 3-year olds. Frank, do you have a strong opinion to get things started off? We begin at is it noon local time? So 1 Eastern. Is that how the
it's
time?
It's 11 local time.
Okay. Gosh, I got to hurry and get this show up, but we'll do that. So noon Eastern.
So this is one of the races I'm really looking forward to seeing. The 2 Lang's Day has been nothing short of sensational in his 2 races at Delta, and despite his antics in the start in both. The first time he ran, I'll read you the comment I put on him. I put off poorly 2 lengths, inhaled field, just getting going. Wow. So he really impressed me that day. Then he came back and he reared at the start in his second race on February 26th. He circled the entire field and was going away at the end. So, I mean, the sky is the limit for this horse. And if he ever figures out how to get out of the gate, it could really be dangerous. I did happen to see him work on March 14th at the Fairgrounds. And it's kind of funny the way they worked him in company with another horse, and they kind of worked him the way he's run his 2 races. He started about 5 lengths back and about 5 paths on the outside of his workmate and just went by him real easy and galloped out really strong. I'm really looking forward to this race because I think it's between him and Sister, the 2 logical choices. Sister ran a couple of good races when he won and then came back and won his 9 winners of 2 against State Breds. But his last race was against older horses. And for a 3-year-old this time of year going against older horses, I thought he ran really good and stayed on well. So, I mean, since it looks like the controlling speed, especially the way Giroux's been riding, he's been pretty aggressive these days. And I'm really looking forward to seeing if Langsday is good enough to run him down. Oh. And for a third horse maybe to come running and pick up the show spot. City Park had some trouble last time, and he's trained well since that race. And he'll be coming late. So that was my thinking in that race.
That's an excellent, just the drama of watching that those 2 at the top of the market. I'm excited to see now after that description. For race two, we move to a mile on the turf for three-year-old maidens. I know you do pretty well in these races. What did you come up with here?
Yeah, I think the 13 is going to take a lot of beating here. This is a horse I bet on last time, and so we've got the rails back at zero, like they do for these big days. You know, it started with the Super Santa Saturday, and then it went on to Le Comte Day, then Risen Star Day, and now here we are, Derby Day. And it's the only weekends that the fairgrounds runs with the races, with the turf rail, well, with no temporary turf rail. And it has been where you really needed to be inside and forwardly placed. I was glad to see yesterday they had them down to get ready for today, and it wasn't as severe. But regardless if it is or not, I don't think the 13's losing this race because she ran really good last time, staying on four wide against the way the track was playing. And she's been doing good since, and I don't see a ton of pace in this race. Bridgman's just going to ride out of that hole and get a good spot up front and take a lot of beating.
Is this one that might be a shorter-priced single in your early picks?
She'll be short. I don't have a real strong opinion on hookups. There's a lot of first-time starters that I haven't seen work. And the ones that, I mean, Flabbergasted looks logical as an underneath horse in this race. Maybe Faith Factor for Chris Block, but nobody I'm in love with underneath.
All right, let's go back to Louisiana Bred Stakes Racing for race number three. Frank, how are we going to keep these early picks moving and grooving?
Well, you got probably a free spot here. Steph's Little Sugar, the favorite. I mean, she's been much the best in both of her starts. Her maiden race here at the fairgrounds, she had got off a little slow and was wide throughout and just dominated the group she faced that day. Then she went up to Delta, stretched out around two turns in a state bred stake, and you know just drew off very easy. And she's really one of the only, well, I would say Seb's Princess is more of a two-turn horse than a sprinter. But besides that, the rest of these, in my mind, most of sprinters, including Vacherie Girl, I don't see, you know, Steph Sugar looks like an easy winner at a short price here.
All right.
And drew well, too. That's a great spot for it.
Sounds perfect. Yeah. Sounds like one to maybe embrace with some confidence early on in the card. We're back to maidens for race number four, a mile and a turf once again. And what do you
like? Really like this race. Oh. This is a great betting race, in my opinion.
It's a tremendous betting race based on the morning line odds that has it, 5-1 or 9-2 the field. where can we sink our teeth in?
So I'm probably going to wind up key in the eighth template. And I'll tell you why. Last time they took the blinkers off of this horse, and he ran on Risen Star Day, one of the days that you wanted to be more forwardly placed. So just by timing, it was probably not a great idea to take him off. And just did not run his race at all. But he came back and worked the other day with blinkers. This is one of the brilliant racing horses. And they have another horse called Steely Danza. And this horse, I think, was supposed to be the rabbit for Steely Danza. And Steely Danza worked good that day, but this horse worked tremendous. Chantel Sutherland was up on him, and she never moved a muscle. He went 46-4 and did it good. And he's going to be forwardly placed in this race with the blinkers back on. She kind of rides that way, or has been riding that way.
Yeah.
I think this horse is going to show a lot of improvement. I think another horse that's going to show a lot of improvement is the 3, Coco Star. I don't know if Ortiz is coming in, but he's coming out of the Shake Some Action turf race on, I believe that was Le Comte Day. And this horse was wide and was gaining late against the flow of the race. And another horse that I think's got some body to him that's going to run good is the 6, Rasmussen. If you want to go back and watch that replay, that horse was very wide early and started picking it up late at the wire and galloped out really strong. Like maybe today was the going two turns is what they were always thinking with this horse. Mm-hmm. I think he'll show a lot of improvement.
Governale, that is the 6.
Yeah, the 7 and 9 both figure 2 in the race. So I'll be messing around with 8s, 3s, and 6s some kind of way. 7s and 9s somewhere sprinkled in tries. But I think it's a fantastic betting race.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to that one. Goes at 1:30. leading us right to race five, Louisiana Bred Allowance, 6 furlongs on the dirt. Another big field, another race where we don't, I don't imagine the favorite's going to be too short anyway. 7-2, Charge the Line, listed as the favorite on the morning line.
Well, you're not getting that. My buddy Mike Deliberto's, he's a great guy. I think he's a little off on this morning line. This horse is going to be more like 6-5.
Okay, wow.
And if he repeats that race he ran last time, they have no shot of beating him. It was extremely dominant, and he's facing his main adversary here. Is probably going to be a Song for You, who just dominated that day. Song for You came back and ran another race in the turf, but, I mean, this horse is drawn well. He's going to sit right off. He's doing good. He's another one that's going to take a lot of beating at a short price. I put the race five way on top, and then I had a Song for You underneath. Scarlet's Blackjack, who has been doing good. I thought might be a little forwardly placed in here and maybe can hang on for a piece. And Reckless Ransom, another one that's going to be forwardly placed. I just think that Charge the Line is going to sit right off the speed, take over somewhere around the eighth pole, and the speed's probably good enough to hang on for second, one of them.
But it's basically Charge the Line and then all the rest for Frank in race number five.
Yeah.
Race six, we've got another Louisiana Bred Stake, 5.5 furlongs on the turf this time. Stop me if you've heard this one. Another full field.
Right. Yeah. This is a good betting race, too, I think. I'm looking forward to this one. I've got a couple of horses on my bet back list here. A Fleet Ascent, the 6. But Patrick Devereaux got in a little bit of trouble last time when it was off a little bit slow, but really finished well against Open Company. And getting back in against Louisiana Breds, I think he's going to be perfectly set up for this. And they've got plenty of pace. Diego Sainz tends to show up and ride well on these days, or at least he has in the past in big situations. And I think that horse will be running late, and he's drawn close enough inside that he can save some ground. And I think a lot of the speed will set him up, which ironically, Patrick Devereaux's brother-in-law is Steve Margolis, who's got the 9, Yankee 7. And although Yankee 7 has never won on the turf, Yankee 7 is a different horse this year now that they have taken blankets off. And he's another one that's doing tremendous right now. And I think he'll be forwardly placed in this race. And I think we might be able to get a price on him because he hasn't won on the turf. I think he will take to the turf. And then Monty Mann, you can't leave him out. He's always shows up. He's getting a little older. He's maybe not quite as good as he used to be, but he was severely against the way the track played last time on January 31st. He was hung out, and the rail was the place you wanted to be. He likes this turf course, and I know Ron Fauché, and he's been pointing for this race. He'll have that horse ready for his best. So 6, 7, and 9 for me in here.
I wanted to ask, just taking a quick look through on Timeform US, it does seem like these horses on the also eligible list, should they draw in, all of them look like they could be potential players in here. We don't have scratches yet, but I was just curious to see if the 13 and 14 draw in, are they ones that you would take seriously? I don't imagine the post is that bad going the 5.5 even from out there, but what do you think?
I really don't think any of them are turf horses.
Okay.
Just the way they go, my personal opinion, I think they'll just add to some pace.
Right.
They may put a little more pace in the race. And, I mean, right now it looks like Yankee 7 might get that ideal right off the whoever wants to be inside speed stalking trip. But if one of those gets in, maybe Yankee 7 will have to rate a little bit, which is not a problem. He came from out of it last time and finished well. So, you know, if any of them draw in, I don't think it really changes my opinion. Another one that's going to be running late is Even Gray's Kitten. Maybe could get third or fourth in here. I don't think good enough to win, but he'll be running late. But he's going to get a wide trip from that post.
Could be one underneath for superfectas anyway. Race 7, yep. We've got 3-year-old Maidens on the Dirt going 1 mile and 1/16. What about this one?
They've got a very good horse in this race. The 7 is a runner, Mr. God. that horse didn't want any part of sprinting last time. He was just getting going at the wire. and has trained phenomenal since. He's not losing this race. He'll beat these horses.
I love the confidence. We've got the aforementioned Steely Danza in here as well.
Steely Danza's in here. He's going to add to the pace. He's basically a bowling pin for Mystic God to come scrolling through the lake. They're up against it here.
That's excellent.
There is plenty of pace in this race. I like, I had the 7 way on top, and I won't be reversing much with him. My underneath horses are kind of interesting. I think Brother Martin, the 6, is going to run better. He was hung wide, really wide last time, and I think this horse is better going long, will be better going long, and he's been working well. I think he'll give a good account of himself and get a good setup in this race. And then Giroux is getting on Man of Honor, and they're putting blinkers on the 12. And I just love the way that Laurent Giroux has been riding outside speed horses like he did with Patrick Biancone's horse in the
Ate Indian, sure. Yeah, that was that was great. And he's done it throughout the Triple Crown series, the Mr. Monomoy ride. He's been showing an uncommon amount of aggressiveness, and it's been paying off on these big days especially.
I really liked it, what's his name, the Biancone horse, Ate Indian, that day, because he started riding. I mean, I did not bet on Gunrunner in the Pegasus when he drew the 12 hole. And he rode him the exact same way. And I just knew when I saw the post that Ate Indian drew that he was going to ride that horse the same way he rode Gunrunner. And he did exactly. So,
good stuff.
He's going to do that. I got a feeling he's probably going to do that with this horse. And he's another one that's going to be up close and will probably be one of the targets that Mystic Guide runs past at the 8th pole in hand.
I love it. I can't wait to see it play out in a few hours' time. Race number 8, we've got the Tom Benson Memorial. We're talking about 4 and up now, 100,000 in the pot, 1/16 on the turf. You have a strong opinion in this race?
I don't have a strong opinion. Other than that Chad Brown's not a cinch, it's not going to surprise me if he wins, but I think he'll be over bet. The numbers 1, 2, 5, 8, and 9 were the horses that I want to settle on here. And I'll just be using in multi-race plays. I doubt this will be a betting race for me, but you can't leave Dream Passage out with that post with Cox and Giroux. You can't leave Chad Brown out. Not a Prada Price ran exceptionally well, in my opinion, on Risen Star Day, hung wide, and was making up ground against the way the track was playing. That's a horse that's going to be very live at a price. Brian's going to – Castellano wrote him that – day, but Brian Hernandez rides it today. He's good about saving ground. He's going to tuck in and get a good spot, and she get a good trip. And even though she's on the warpath, came up the inside that day. That horse is doing really good and likes this course, and I would not leave her off. And then Winning Envelope is probably clearly the last of my 5 horses that I'll probably be using, but I'm just not letting Lep Rue, Chris Block beat me with this horse. He's good enough to win. He gets the right trip. Maybe he could win. So not a strong opinion, but a race I'm looking forward to. And I'll probably go down with 4 or 5 of them in multi-race plays.
With race number 9, we begin the graded stakes portion of the card. It's the New Orleans going 1/8. Lots of familiar names in here, including Silver Dust, whom we've discussed before. How do you plan on approaching?
You know, I'm pulling for him. I'm really good friends with some of the connections, and this horse just can't be doing any better. I do think, however, the 1/8 is a legit question mark with him, and he can't be doing any better than he could possibly be. He looks fantastic every morning. He's like, you know, one of these quirky horses. They do everything the same way with him all the time. He comes out first every morning. They got their routines with him. He's doing fantastic. Couldn't be doing any better. He can definitely win. I won't be keying him in any exactas or tries at short prices. It won't surprise me if he wins, but it also won't surprise me if he gets beat, because I think there's a couple of horses in here that are worth considering. Number one is Gunnett, who, if he ever figures out in the afternoon how to be on his correct lead and stop jumping all over the place, he's going to be very dangerous. And he's been doing well in the morning about switching leads when he's supposed to and finishing. Last time he was really lunging at Silver Dust late, and had he run straight, he probably would have won that race. So I think he's definitely, you know, Santana's going to be setting up, spying Silver Dust the whole way around there from the nine hole, and he'll have a target. And I think he's a factor. I also think Aspison Zella, who has tenfold, the way that the Pegasus World Cup played that day, I don't think he had much of a chance on that track. And he didn't run with Lasix that day. He's getting Lasix back today. He and Gunnett worked together on March 9th, that 6 furlongs, and they both looked really good doing it. I happened to be there, saw that work. I think he'll run better. And my question mark is Fearless. I wasn't crazy. I mean, I know the horse ran a big number. I wasn't crazy about the field he beat, and I wasn't crazy about the fact that it was a short stretch at Gulfstream. I'm going to respect him and use him, but I think he'll be overbetting the spot. And if he wins, he's a good horse. So threes, fives, sixes, and nines for me are the main numbers. I am a little bit against By My Standards. By My Standards, you know, was doing fantastic before his last race. He's still doing good. The same day that Silver Dust worked, this horse worked. He actually got the bullet that day. But I think Silver Dust is going better than this horse right now. And I just think By My Standards, maybe a little bit, not as good as he was before his last race. I'm going to duck him.
Sounds like Asmussen holds most of the cards for you in that one.
Well, let me add, yeah, and Calhoun. But, I mean, when's the last time that Asmussen didn't show up on a big day?
It's been a while.
I'm being honest. Yeah. I've never seen a guy that is so consistent about having his horses ready to run when he's pointing for races. It's very impressive.
Let's talk about race number 10. We're on the turf, 1 1/8 miles for the grade 2 Munoz. And big full field. Our friends from 10 Strike Racing have Dot Matrix in here, Instilled Regard, lots of familiar names. Channel Maker, Synchrony, yeah. Supposed to be favored on in the 12 post at 3-1 for Stidham. I know Synchrony's one you've liked in the past. Who gets it done?
So the I think this morning line's probably a little bit off too. I mean, I think Synchrony and Still Regard will probably be a little closer, and I don't in price, and I'm really not so sure that Dot Matrix is going to be anywhere near 8-1 either. Those look like the three horses to me. I can tell you that Synchrony is doing better, way better than he was doing before his last race, and that horse is not running worse than second unless he gets a bad trip. Which maybe there'd have to be really bad because he's jumping out of his skin. He's going to explode today. He'll take a lot of beating in this spot, too. I got the race 12 with 1-6, and I'm going down with those numbers.
Have you seen enough of Channel Maker at this point? The one point I wanted to at least ask about him.
I saw him last year. He's goofy. He's a quirky horse to ride, it sounds like, yeah. And it looks like. And this is a new course for him. I want no part of him. He beats me.
Fair enough. I was just going to mention the Mott sometimes, the giving them a prep at Gulfstream and then improving as the season goes on. That was I was a little afraid of him in that regard, but I get that you've seen enough.
But if he beats me, I understand it. I mean, I'm willing to take that shot. If he does, he does. Yeah. I'm going to take a stand against.
In race number 11, we have the Fairgrounds Oaks, grade 2, 1 1/16 miles. We've talked about Finite before, 3-5 on the morning line in here, and looks like she'll take a lot of beating. But do you have anything creative, or is this a one-horse race?
She's a brick through a window, unstoppable. She's not losing to these. Yeah. I'm a joke. She's going fantastic. She's another one that just drew perfect for her. She's just whoever wants the lead. She's going to sit right off of them. And I happened to be on the track the morning her last work on March 16th, the 50 half mile. I mean, that was merely a gallop until the kid finally just released his grip a little bit at the eighth pole. She came on like 11-2, and then was not allowed to gallop out. I mean, she's going to win for fun. Nobody in here can beat her.
I'm a fan. It's a joke. I'm a big fan. Yeah. So there's another one for your picks, but potential free square. Leading up to the nightcap, the featured event of the day, the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby, mile and 3/16, big full field. Can't wait to hear. We've heard you talk about this Louisiana group all winter. Can't wait to hear where you've landed now.
And, you know, so the best thing about this race is that I haven't landed anywhere. That's how good this race is, in my opinion. And I know who I think is doing well, and I think who I think can win. But I mean, this is a great betting race, and there's a few horses I can't, you know, knock at all that I think have a big shot. I'll go through it with you.
Yeah, let's run them down.
Major Fed's doing fantastic since his last race. He is definitely a horse you can count on that he's going to move forward off his division of the Risen Star, which I clearly thought was the weaker of the two divisions. I was there that day, but this horse has really come forward. He'll take a step forward today. Got to get a good trip, and you got to respect that Rosario's getting on. He's one of the ones, won't shock me if he wins. He's not the most likely win candidate in my mind, but it won't shock me if he wins. Mailman Money, I think he's got some distance limitations. I personally kind of thought he hit a bit of a wall at the 16th pole last time. And I think the connections probably wish that Mr. Big News was in the field. I think that maybe he's better suited to the distance. So I'd be real surprised if he wins. He may be part of the pace, or at least up close. Wells Bayou, I don't know what to do with him, to be honest with you. I wasn't crazy about his race, at Oaklawn, thought it was okay. He came back and worked here. I saw him working on March 14th. He worked with Shake Some Action. And I thought Shake Some Action was going a little bit better than him, actually. So, you know, I respect the connections. I won't be using him. I think he'll definitely add to the pace. Chestertown is one that I think can definitely win. I think that allowance race from the Risen Star card, the horses are going to be moving forward off that race. If you like Silver State, there's no reason to not like Chestertown, because on March 9th, Asmussen got serious with these horses, put them together in that 6-furlong work in 111, and this horse was in lockstep on the outside of Silver State, and they both look really good, and they are pumped up and both ready to run. So you can expect your best out of them. Social Affleet's way over his head. He has no shot in here. Shake Some Action is coming out of the same race with Chestertown. He kind of got the jump on Chestertown. Chestertown had a funny trip in there. He really was probably the best horse. But he's doing good. But knowing that Shake Some Action, knowing how good Chestertown's doing, and that I think he was probably the best horse that day, I prefer Chestertown over Shake Some Action. Won't surprise me if Shake Some Action gets a piece of it underneath. And that goes, same could be said with Sharecropper. And again, another one coming out of that race who missed the Risen Star because he had gotten sick. And I know this horse needed this race. And although he doesn't train really brilliantly, he sure looks like a horse that'll run all day. He's good looking, and he'll be, Mina's going to save ground with him, and you can expect he's going to come running. He might be one to include in tries and supers. Royal Act, I haven't seen in person. Only watching his races and his works on the internet, he seemed a little grindy to me. I don't know. Have you seen him?
No.
You saw his last race?
I mean, only on tape, not in person.
Not overly impressive. I mean, what did you think when you saw it, the race?
I think that's a good adjective. But, you know, I was thinking that depending on how the pace shakes out here, grindy, not necessarily a bad thing if a fast pace materializes and on right. Talent looked yeah. Like one that shouldn't be discounted anyway.
No, he runs figure. He's got a figure for sure. Absolutely. He's got a great figure. So, I mean, I can't knock anybody that wants to use him. I don't know how much I'll be leaning on him. But it wouldn't shock me if he wins. I'd be kind of surprised if this Fletcher horse wins. Portos, I wasn't impressed with most of his races, and I saw his work against Farmington Road, who I thought definitely had a shot if he had gotten in this race. I thought his Risen Star was sneaky good, but I thought Farmington Road looked better than him working out, and I won't be using him.
A little bit of a setup last time. Looks a little slow for a Fletcher, too.
Yeah. And Forcible is doing fantastic. Talk about contrasting work patterns or the way that trainers go about getting different types of horses ready for races. Everything that, that David Carroll and Mark Cassie have done with this horse is all about relaxing and finishing. And I mean, his work on March 7th, he was in company with Linz Mapp, who was absolutely no match, even though they got the same time. Because, the best part of the work was after they hit the wire. And Enforceable was going so much easier and then galloped out about 8 in front.
That's great info.
I mean, and kept going about 3 furlongs. He's going to hit this distance is going to be perfect for him. And if he gets the right pace and a clean trip, he's going to be tough to beat. I mean, he's going to be, I'm guessing, probably 5-2, 3-1. What do you think?
The morning line is 7-2, and I actually felt that was pretty good just because, as you pointed out, there are so many ways you can go in here and so many horses who have to catch money.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I think some people are going to look at this and see how open it is and how many contenders there are, and just and the gut is going to be to gravitate away from the favorite, even though the favorite is clearly live, and I think that means 3-1, 7-2.
Yeah, there's no way that he won't be first, second, third in this race. That's my opinion. There's no way. Not the way he's going. And it looks like he's going to get a lot of pace to run at. And at this distance, which is going to, he's going to love, he will not be, there's no way he's not first, second, or third. I'll be shocked.
He could end up offering value if the crowd gravitates to some of these interesting choices.
If the gun in my head and I had the key of horse, it would definitely be him. So, and I'll lean on him in some multi-race plays for sure. New York traffic. I thought that was he stalked or was up close to a soft pace last time. He's getting blinkers on. Saez, I guess, is not coming. Is that what we're hearing?
It wouldn't surprise me. Everything's in such flux, especially with all these rumors. So we'll have to check the changes there.
He's got to go. It seems like he's got to go quicker with the blinkers on. And so, I mean, I'm not interested in that. That's just more pace for the closers to come get.
Going to be very tough.
Linz Mapp, we already discussed. Silver State's doing fantastic. I got a sneaky feeling that Silver State is going to run his best race by a block today. I just think when Asmussen puts him down on the rail like that and puts another horse on top of him, I think they're expecting a big thing, big things out of him today. I really do. I think if you can expect his best and maybe even to be a little closer than he's been. I mean, he was tuned up for a reason the other day. Everything they do, that outfit does, is with a purpose. So I expect him to run really good. And then Modernist, I mean, he can't get a better trip than he got. I don't want any part of him from the 14 hole.
Yeah.
Today, when he, you know,
very different pace scenario expected here too, right?
Absolutely.
You got 5 or 6 horses who are going to be. Significantly faster, I would think. Getting out of there. So that's a sensible fade.
You know, I'm not sure how I'm gonna play it. Maybe I'll wait and see how the track's playing, or see how they're behaving in the post parade, which I like to do before I make my bets.
My gut, just hearing you go through the race, is that, obviously for multis, there's going to have to be some pressing of Enforceable. Could actually be some value despite being the favorite because of how many ways there are to go. But Chestertown sounds like the particularly interesting one, given how much you like Silver State, and you made the point yourself that based on watching that work, you need to upgrade Chestertown to somewhere near Silver State, and they both might be overlays at 15-1 and 6-1 respectively.
Correct.
if those morning lines are right.
My top four would be 10, 13, 4, and 1, kind of in that order. But it wouldn't shock me if somebody else that we talked about jumped up and won. Yeah. You know,
that's great stuff. The horse by horse analysis of the big day. Now, Frank, I was tempted to keep you around and make you tell stories, but we got to get this show up. These races are starting so soon. But if you have a short one, if not, we'll bring you back to do a story soon.
Now, you're going to have to bring me back for a good story. But I got a feeling we're living a story. right now. I'm telling you. This has got to be a story in here somewhere when we get through this.
I love it. The party at the end is going to be something. New Orleans is going to be one of the places to be. I think we can bank on that as well.
I got, believe me, I got running mates that are chomping at the bit right now. I can't wait.
Hopefully you found a place with the peppermint schnapps that delivers.
We've turned it into a social club. It's no longer an establishment. So we sneak it in.
That work, you know, just as long as everybody stays 6 feet away, you can make it work.
Right. Yep. We're doing good. All right. Get this bad boy up.
Let's do
Everybody it. Win. Take care. We're gonna be playing horses a lot of years, brother. Let's go.
I love it. We're gonna do something different and let Frank have the last word there. I'll just chime in with the obligatory, may you win all your photos.